Thanks for remembering, Janice. You don't know, might not know that Mrs. Parker leaves me a bottle of water every Sunday on her desk with a little note, and thank you for that, Janice. Tomorrow, CPNS, first day of CPNS, is that right? You want to say anything about that? I know we'll be dedicating teachers and staff soon, but a healthy enrollment? Okay. I'm doing physical therapy, and I went to physical therapy and started talking about stuff with the physical therapist here. It turns out he's one of our CPNS dads. He's got kids in here. Small world. I haven't forgotten that we are studying the book of Revelation. Hopefully you haven't forgotten that either. We actually, in this scripture reading, are advancing where we are, and we'll return to this passage again next week, but I call your attention now to the book of Revelation, the 8th chapter, the first 5 verses, a very dramatic moment in unfolding in the book of Revelation, a key transition point, because it is the opening of the 7th seal, the last of the seals, the last of the set of 7, and then it'll be moving forward to another set of 7 trumpets. So I call your attention to Chapter 8, listen to God's word. When the Lamb opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the 7 angels who stand before God, and 7 trumpets were given to them. Another angel with a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given a great quantity of incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar that is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray, amen. I take this opportunity to thank you. Thank you for the many cards that have come my way this summer. Thank you for the phone calls, the encouraging letters, emails, text messages. You have truly blessed me with your outpouring of concern and love. And I most especially thank you for your prayers. When I left here, my last Sunday, you may remember, was the last Sunday in June. So I'd been gone 2 months. I was facing some rather difficult circumstances. I was facing surgery on my shoulder, which I did have. I think there was some unclarity about whether or not I actually had the surgery I did on July 22nd, it actually ended up being. I have 3 arthroscopic marks that are healed pretty well from the incisions of the surgeon. Unfortunately, the shoulder was not able to be repaired. They believe it started with an old injury. It may have even been something close to 10 years ago when I was lifting weights. But it's a mess in there. You read the report, the surgical report, and it's words like massive and, you know, traumatic and stuff like that. So the doctor did what he could. My bicep tendon was completely shredded, but he was able to reconnect that. And for a while, I had what they call a Popeye bicep. My left bicep was swollen and really big. The rotator cuff was not able to be repaired, so it is completely torn in a couple of places. And I don't mean to gross you out, but whatever came apart rolled its way back, and there wasn't enough of it left to reconnect. So my shoulder, although I had the surgery, was not successful. I didn't need to be in an immobilizer and I was able to drive earlier on. And I've been doing physical therapy up in the Poconos and back here. But here's the thing. When I went to the follow-up appointment with the doctor several days after the surgery, and when I went to the physical therapist, they could not believe. The doctor, seriously, was amazed. Because with all that damage, I can do this. I shouldn't be able to do that. Seriously. I can do this. I shouldn't. I should not. Based on the damage, I should not be able to do this. I should not be able to do this, although this still hurts a little bit. Yes, I still do get pain. If I move it in a certain way, it just jars right through there. Muscles are weakened. I'm working on that. So I'm sorry, but you know, B&G, I just can't lift anything anymore. I can't vacuum. And I'm sure there'll be other things when I'm asked that I'll be relating that I just won't be able to do. I think I'll be able to carry the babies around for baptism. I wasn't able to do it the last baptism we had before the surgery. But maybe if I have a safety net under there, I could do it. I think it's because of your prayers. I believe that. I think your prayers were part of that. The week I left, I announced to the church family that Kathy and I were divorcing. You've prayed for us. And we're not. We have made a commitment to each other to go to marriage therapy, and we will work. We've made a commitment to work on our marriage. We were together in the Poconos all of August. Vacationing, and I think that's because of your prayers. I saw no hope when I left. I saw no hope. But here's the thing. God uses our prayers. We may think, why is it important to pray? God already knows what we need. God already knows what's going to happen. God already knows everything. The first kind of systematic treatment of prayer outside of the Bible comes from an early saint by the name of Origen, O-R-I-G-I-N. Something's called Origen. I think it's mostly Origen. He lived between the time that the book of Revelation was written and Constantine became emperor. He was a martyr. He was tortured for his faith and died as a result of being tortured in great persecution that happened around the year 250. But Origen was one of what we call one of the first church fathers, patristics. And he wrote a little treatise on prayer in which... Let me read his words. I could summarize it, and I'm not going to go real long, but let me read it in his words rather than paraphrase it. It says this: if God knows what we are going to ask, why bother to pray? Excuse me. Origen has as good an answer as anyone has given, and the article is written by Rowan Williams, who's the former Archbishop of Canterbury, now active theologian and master at Magdalen College in Cambridge. Origen has as good an answer as anyone has given. God knows, of course, what we are going to say and do, but God has decided that he will work out his purposes through what we decide to say and do. So if it is God's will to bring something about, some act of healing or reconciliation, how about that? Some change for the better in the world, he has chosen that your prayer is going to be part of a set of causes that makes it happen. So you better get on with it, as you and your prayer are part of God's overall purpose for the situation in which he is going to work. Actually, that was more Rowan Williams' summary of Origen than Origen's words himself, but it's accurate. God often determines that one of the causes of the way he works in the world is through our prayers. We have that privilege of actually being part through what we pray and being part of God's will in the actualization of God's will, sometimes for the very things for which we pray. It's clear here in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, the idea of the prayers of the saints is very important. In chapter 6, there was the prayers of the martyrs who had died and who were under the altar. If you remember that, you can go back and read it. It's chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. It's the beginning of the fifth seal. They cry out. They cry out for justice, for righteousness on the earth. And God uses that prayer and answers that prayer. Incense is the symbol of the book of Revelation, of the rising of the prayers of the saints. Was that way in chapter 5? About the lion and the lamb, there was the incense. And again, at this key moment in chapter 8, this key transition, we have the incense again, which is the prayers of the church rising to God. But then the angel takes the censer, which is the pot that had the incense in it, and taking the prayers of the church actualizes the will of God by filling it with fire and throwing it down upon the earth in judgment. Now, again, this is highly symbolic. We've got that over and over and over again in the book of Revelation. So it isn't as though we actually have to envision that's the actual way that things unfolded. But what it's telling us is that God, judgment upon the earth, was in part in response to the prayers of the saints. Just as at the Exodus with Moses, God heard the people's cry. He saw for himself, and so he answered. And his will was actualized. Prayer works. We don't always get the answer we want, but God always answers prayer. Sometimes in dramatic ways, sometimes in ways we're not really aware of. But don't ever think that praying is not important and that your prayers are not important. And every time you see me in this pulpit and you see me in my home, know that I'm an example of that, of your prayers, for which I thank you and I thank God. God answers prayer. Let us keep going with the prayers of the saints. We'll have more to talk about in the weeks ahead. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the ushers are going to gather now to receive the morning offering.